begin the current daven, Masechtas Krisa Daf Hey. Begin four lines down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is one of the items we mentioned in the opening Mishnah of our Perek of our Masechta, Shloish and Meshesh, 36 different types of creases for violations of Isurim. One of them was if someone eats the forbidden fats, Chelev. So the Gemara brought in the discussion, actually, Machlaikis, regarding why it says in the Pasuk the forbidden fats of the ox, of the lamb, of the goat. So there was one opinion, that of Rabbi Shmuel, who said that it was to be mechalik. That's why it's specified, because ultimately the pasuk was superfluous. Chum disagree, for that it's not for that interpretation. But it says extra, and therefore each one is coming to say, although generally a lav shebechlolus, although it's a categorical issur, it says in one pasuk, generally if one does it with one warning, one would only get one set of lashes. Here that it's extra is to give individual lashes. So did the Gemara brought a similar discussion, the bada of the previous daf from Rabbi Ila regarding Meiser Sheni, that all mentions the items in one pasuk also to be mechalik. And that the Gemara continues a similar theme from Amr B'Yitzchak. It says, oich lechem, someone eats bread. Kali, which is toasted grain in the oven. The caramel, which is caramel is that which is still soft kernels that could be rolled in the hands and it wasn't roasted in the fire. So if one eats all these three things before the Omer was brought, which is there's a prohibition of eating the new grain before the carbon Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, if someone eats these three things, like a gimel, he gets three sets of lashes. Ask the Gemara, but va'ein loikin alav shabachlalas. But these are all three mentioned in the same pasuk, and that's called a categorical isra, and one doesn't get a separate lash in each one. Why are we getting three lashes? Says the Gemara, shani hachad miyate kroy, like we said in the previous stuff, same type of idea, because the pasuk is superfluous. Therefore, why is it mentioning it to specify that each one gets its own set of lashes? Why? So the Gemara explains, and it goes through the discussion to figure out which word here is extra. If you'd say that the pasuk should only write bread, and the nail of kali, the karmim lene, and therefore the words are extra, because then you could just learn out the roasted grain, the plum kernels from lechem, but you can't say that, because ikla mifrach, you could refute that derivation. You could say, no, mala lechem, maybe I would only say the isra of eating chadash, the new grain, before the omer is brought, is specifically by bread, shekin nisra beitz l'chala, because it has a severity regarding that the mitzvah of chala, to take off a part of the dough, is specifically by bread, which doesn't apply to kala and karmel. So what are you going to say? No, nichtav kali, let it write only regarding the roasted grain. But lechtav lechem, and it shouldn't have to write bread, and also the caramel, it shouldn't have to write regarding the plum kernels. But nelef mikali, and learn it off from the toasted grain. That's what the Gemara. No, you can't do that either. Lechem mikali le'asi, you wouldn't be able to learn out bread that from halacha of kali, for the roasted grain, that is isra of chadash, mishum de kali isa bi'eni, because there's a certain stringency that applies to the plum grain, because it's still extant. It was never ground down yet, in contrast to the other two, so lechem la isa bi'eni. Bread is not still extant, so therefore, that maybe wouldn't have the isra of chadash. And also, caramel mikali la'asi, we wouldn't learn out the plum kernels from the roasted grain, from the kali nisrabalates of menachas, because we find that kali is more severe, although caramel is also still around, it wasn't ground down yet, but the roasted grain has a certain increased astringency to it, that it's brought with the flour offering, specifically the minchas ha'omer, where it says it has to be kolu be'esh, has to be roasted in the fires. Now, as Rashi points out, although actually the pasuk there calls it caramel, it doesn't mean the caramel that we're discussing over here, the plum kernels. It actually has to be that it's prepared through the fire. As the Gemara says, with these pipe that has holes in it, that it can be roasted in it, so the fire could get to it. The reason why it calls it caramel is from the word rach and mal, which is soft, that is rolled, but it's not really referring to the plum kernels that we're talking about in caramel. So, and caramel in the strawberry, it's a menachas. And that doesn't have any menachas that brought from it. So therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn out either one of these from kali. And if you're going to say, okay, nichtav caramel, write caramel, the plum kernels, v'neilif lechem mekali minei, learn out bread and the roasted grain from it, that there's the isra of chadash, ikalim ifach, you can refute it. Mali caramel, what we find by astringency by the plum kernels, shekein lo nishtanim b'biyas, it didn't change from as it is. Maybe there is where the isra of chadash is, and not by bread and kali. So therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn that one from the other, and therefore, we're back to the question. So which word here is extra? Oh, but says the Gemara, min chad lo yalfi. You're right, from one of them, you wouldn't be able to learn out the other two, but nelef chadim in train. Let one, the third one, be learned out from the other two, as the Gemara explains. What are you going to say? Loi nichtav krol lechem. Okay, don't write bread. But nelef mikol b'karmel, learn it out from a common denominator from kol and karmel. Says the Gemara, no. Ikal mefach, you could refute that. You wouldn't know it, because malik kol b'karmel, the isnu beinehen. Both those are still around. So therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn bread from that, because when you're going to say, oh, what do you find by kali that it's extant, you can't say karmel yichir, because that's also still extant. So we're going to say, okay, lo nichtav kro karmel. Don't write karmel. But neilif melech makol, learn that from bread and the roasted grain. So the Gemara ekle mefach, he could refute that teaching, because malach lechem v'kali, we find the stringency applies by bread and the roasted grain, shekin disrabe itzel menachas, where both those are by menachas. Like we said, kali is by the minchas ha'omer, and therefore when you're going to ask, oh, what you find by kali, that you see it has halacha menachas, you can't say, oh, lechem yichiach, because actually lechem bread is also by menachas, where the lechem upon them, the 12 showbreads, is called a mincha, and the shteya lechem of shavuos, it says, ba'krivcha mincha chadosh, is also called a mincha. So what's the one that's, where do we find the extra word over here that you're saying it's coming to tell you lechalik to each one that has a separate liability? So Amlacham Yitzchak, he says, because le'nichtav krog kali, the Torah did not have to write the roasted grain. V'nelef melech mekarmel, that's one that could be learned from the other two, of bread and the plum kernels, because my parachat, what are you going to ask over there? Iparach, if you're going to ask, wait, ma'lo lechem chukin nisrabeitz l'chali, you can't learn that from bread, because that is the stringency of the halach of taking of chal to give to the kain. Well, karmel yichich, the plum kernels don't have that halach of chal. And the imashum the karmel in the shtam b'yasi, you're going to say, wait, you can't learn that from karmel because that never changed at all, whereas the roasted grain at least was roasted. Lechem yichich, bread would disprove that because that has the isav chadash, and that did change. So hilkach leika, therefore, says the Gemara, that's where we know that you get lashes for each one individually because the meyater, because the terminology of kali was extra, and it said it to say that because each one gets its individual liability. And that asks the Gemara, okay, ve'ema kali de meyater mechayv chadash, maybe say kali is the extra one, that's the one that you'll get a separate liability for that. But akulin mechayv chadash, but for the other two, you'll be liable only one, and not for each one liable its own individual one. And that says the Gemara, imkain, if that would be the case, nichtav kra lechem karmel v'kali. Let it write bread, the plum kernels, and kali, because kali is its own, has its own thing. Or inami nichtav kali v'lechem karmel. Let it write kali first, and then write the bread and the karmel. Amai kasev kali be'emtza. If kali has its own, why are you writing in between the other two that are all in one issen? Rather, says the Gemara, hachi kama, this is what it's saying. Lechem, bread, and the girsa is kakali mechayv. It's telling you that bread is like kali to be liable. The karmel mechayv kakali. And also karmel is also going to be liable like kali, meaning that each one's going to get their own individual liability. That's where it puts kali, the extra one, in the middle to say each one gets its own issa. Now, related to the topic of our parak, of our opening mishnah, of our masechta, of creases, so Amar Bianai, which then the Gemara brings similar teachings, says, La'ilam atihi gezeira shava kalabenecha. A gezeira shava, which is one of the 13 attributes of darshaning the Torah, should not be a simple thing in your eye. Which is when you have the same word here and the same word over there, and you learn out the halachas of one context from the other. Shari pigul echad megufi Torah, because the halacha of pigul, which is when the kohen brings is doing the avoid, and he has a mind that should be eaten beyond its time, which that invalidates that sacrifice. Where actually, if one's going to eat that animal, is going to be liable for a chiv of karis, which is one of the essential halachas of Torah. You see what a severe punishment has, which is the topic of our mesecht of creases. But yet the pasuk didn't teach us that it's going to be a punishment of karas. Elam gzereshava. We only know it from gzereshava. Damer Rebbechlin. Rebbechlin says that Tani Zavde Bar Levi. He taught a brisa that Nemal Halam says over there in Parshas Kedoshim. Va'oichlov avoyna yisa. And whoever eats it will carry his sin. Now, as Rashi points out, although actually in that pasuk, which we're learning a pigul from, actually says pigul in that pasuk itself. So Rashi explains that not actual the full-fledged pigul that we're referring to. That pigul, which means having a machshava chutzas manai, there it's actually talking about someone has a mind when he's slaughtering it, it should be eaten beyond its space, not beyond its time. As the Brice expounds at Taras Kainim, and also in Perk Shechidus Kachim, and Dafchav Chesma Beizim, Sechzis Vachim, that if that pasuk's not telling us regarding chutzas manai, because a different pasuk teaches us, that pasuk talking about regarding chutzlam kaima. And you can't explain that when it talks about that in that pasuk, the penalty of karis, that it's going on chutzlam kaimai, because by the bona fide pigul in Parashat Tzav, it says, "Vanefesh eichilis memina avoyna tisa." Whoever eats from this pigul, which was sacrificed with a machshava chutzas mani, avoyna tisa will carry his sin. Which the Brice expounds in Teres Kainim, it says, "Mimenu avoyna tisa." From that will carry the sin, which we're going to shortly explain means karas. But not from the counterpart, that of a machshava chutzam kaimai, which is similar that it's having a machshava beyond something, but beyond its space, there the halacha pigul does not apply. So, therefore, explains the Brisam, says during that pasuk, v'oichlav avayna yisa, which we're going to shortly explain is referring to nicer. Now, the Nemr Khan says over here in the pasuk in Parashat Tzav, when it talks about the halacha of pigul, says, v'nefesh oichelz memina avayna tisa, and the person that eats from this will carry his sin. Now, there it says, lo yichashiv, which is not to have this machshava, which again, like we explained, is referring to the pigul, a bona fide pigul of having machshava that should be beyond its time. Says the Braisa, so we learn that from Gzeirah Shava, Malahal, and just to go over there, which the Pasuk in Parashas Kedeshim is referring to Neiser, as we'll shortly explain, which is when the carbon's left over beyond its time. It says, and whoever eats it will carry his sin, that's referring to Karis, because it says over there in the Pasuk, V'nichras, that he'll be cut off his life, won't have kids. Afkan Karis, also here the Gzeirah Shava is telling us where it says the Vayna Yisa is referring to Karis, and that's how we know the Halacha Pigal has Karis, and it's only known through Gzeirah Shava. Similarly, Amreb Simai says, "Lo'ilamati gzeirah shava kalabenachad." Shouldn't be light in your eyes the teaching of gzeirah shava. Shahari noiser echad meguvitar, because a carbon left over its designated time. It's one of the primary contexts of the Torah, which, as we're explaining, there's karis there. V'lo'ilim dar kasav. Yet the Torah didn't teach you that noiser, if one eats the leftover carbon, is going to get karis. Elim gzeirah shava. We only know that from gzeirah shava, because that pasuk that we quoted there in Parshas Kedeshim that talks about karis, we don't really know that it's referring to noiser, because actually that pasuk is after the pasuk of chutzlim kamei, like we mentioned, of pigol, not the main pigol of beyond the space, and it sounds like it's actually going on chutzlim kamei. It's only from gzeirah shava that we know not. Because Mahi, what's Gzeirah Shava? Yal of Kaidish Kaidish. We learn that Gzeirah Shava of Kaidish Kaidish. Where it says over here, in this passage, we're talking about Parash Kadeshim, Va'eichlav Avayna Yisa, and the one who eats it will carry his sin. He has Kaidish Hashem Chilu, because he has desecrated the holiness of Hashem. Now, Xivan says a passage in Shemais, V'serafta es hanoiser be'esh, you should burn the carbon that's left over in the fire, ki kaidish v'gaymer, because it's the holy thing of Hashem. So it says over there kaidish, it says over here kaidish, and we know that over there is tumah kaidish that gets karas, referring to noiser. And how do we know that noiser gets karas? Only from gzeirah shava. Similarly, Amar Abaya says, lo'olamati gzeirah shava kalabenecha, that it shouldn't be ever light in your eyes, a teaching of a gzeirah shava. Sharibitu manasasek, because a person has a daughter out of wedlock from a woman that he violated, which the gears of the Shita is, it's echad megufei Torah. It's one of the primary principles of the Torah, because we see what a severe penalty if someone would have relations with his daughter out of wedlock. It's from a daughter that's from out of wedlock, that is a punishment of sreifa. And yet, v'leilim da'akasav el megzeirah shava, the pasuk doesn't teach it. We only know from megzeirah shava. The Amar Rav Agrava says, Amli Yerbitzchak bar Vidimi, says in the pasuk regarding one's wife, in Vayikra Yudches, it says, Ervas isha bita leisegala. The nakedness of a woman and her daughter, meaning to have relations with a woman and a daughter, that's forbidden. Which sounds like whether it's his daughter from him, or it's her daughter from someone else. Now the end of that pasuk says, She'erehen, it's a close relationship. Zimahi, it's an inappropriate relationship. Now it says, Ervas bas bintchoi vas bitcho. That the relationship of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, that's forbidden. Now that pasuk is actually by Ananusa. It's when it's the woman that he had these children from was out of wedlock. Because if it would be from his wife, that we already learned that from the pasuk that mentioned by Ervas Ishabita, and it says over the Bas Bana, it talks about her grandchildren. So we know that the grandchild of Anusa, of a woman from out of wedlock, is forbidden. However, that the actual thing is, but the daughter from his Anusa, the Torah actually doesn't even tell us that. It tells us the grandchild of the Anusa, but it doesn't say her daughter. How do you know it? Asya heina heina li isur. We learn like Gzeirah Shava, where it says by his wife, Sheira heina zimahi, like we just mentioned before. So it says the word heina, and it says by Anusasa, by the woman that he violated, says kir vascha heina. Just like over there, it mentions the daughter. So to over here, it's a woman and her daughter that we're going to have the same halacha that we make, just like by the woman, it's the daughter and the granddaughter. So to over here by the anus, it's going to be the daughter is going to be like the granddaughter. Whereas Rashi points out, although it's a kavu chayim, if the granddaughter of the anus is forbidden, for sure the daughter, but that's what's called emas yirman adin. You can't give a biblical violation based on logic, even based on the kavu chayim. So we know from Gzeirah Shava that it's forbidden. And regarding the punishment, where it says in the pasuk, and it says, where it says over there, with zima, which over there the punishment is a woman and her mother is with sreifa. So to over here, where it also to use the terminology of zima, is also going to be that we find the bitam on the sasa going to be sreifa. So we see that the iser and the sreifa of the bitam on the sasa is only from Gzeirah Shava, and therefore we see how great is Gzeirah Shava. So to Amar Vashi, it says, Alti gzeir shove kalabenecha, gzeir shove should not be light in your eyes. Shari niskalim hein hen gufei Torah, because the majority of those that get the death penalty of being stoned, for example, if someone has relations with his mother or with his daughter-in-law, it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that there's skila, that they're stoning. Rather, it just says that demeyim bam, their blood is in them. And skila is one of the primary, obviously important penalties that the Torah is giving to this iser. And the Torah only knows that regarding all these violations that they get skila from a gzeirah shava. Because Tanya, like learn the brisa. Nemer kandemem bam. It says by here by all these isurim, the majority of those that get skila, that blood is in them. But it doesn't say what that means. The nemer ba'ayv yadayin. It says regarding the isur of necromancy by ayv yadayin. It says demem bam. The blood is in them. Now malahal beskila. Just like what the Torah tells us explicitly, it means being stoned. Afkam beskila rosa from the gzeirah shava. Demem bam means being stoned, and we only know it through gzeirah shava. Now the Gemara continues with the topic of our opening Mishnah of our Perek of our Masechta, that one of the items that we get karas for, and if it's b'shegik kara karmachatas, is a mefatmes Hashem v'chulu. Someone goes and compounds the same ingredients as the Shem and the Mishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the anointing oil. That's a chiv of karas. So it turns out within the Brisa that expounds in this and says, hamefatmes Hashem. If someone compounds this oil, I mean he makes the ingredients, he puts it together, but he does it lumidboy. Because he wants to learn regarding the halacha. Or because he wants to give it over to the public, not for his own personal usage. So patur is exempt. But lasach, if he wants to use to anoint, so then chayiv, then he's going to be liable, because like the pasuk says, asher yirkach kamayu, that if he's compounding it because he wants to anoint like it, that's the liability. Now, v'hasach v'menu, and this who violated by making it, if some other person who didn't compound it, if he anoints himself with it, patur, he's going to be exempt. Why? The Torah says that if one anoints with it, one is violating an iser. Because actually the prohibition that we mentioned in our Mishnah of anointing with the anointing oil is only the one that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had made. Like it says in the pasuk about Shayitim Mimenu, if he's going to place on himself from that one, meaning from the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made, only then, but not from the one that someone violated by making the same ingredients these days of the Shem and the Mishra. Now, Amamar, the Gemara explains, the time of the Braisa said that Lumadbay, if he made it to learn from it, or Yamanas Lames Litziba Potter, or if he went to give it over to the Tzibra, then he's exempt. Where that the Tzibra needs it, he's not doing it for himself, so then he would be exempt. So says the Gemara, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, because Asya Mishkunasi, we learn it out from the measurements, min bim, where it's said by Shem and the Mishra, min bimaskunta de Keteris, where it says that same word of the measurements by the Keteris. Now, it says by the Keteris in Pasuk and Shemai, it says Loi Sasulchem. In its measurements, also the same is by Keteris, you can't make it for you. Now, Lochem Udasa, but the inference is for you it's prohibited. But if you're not doing it for yourself, either just to learn or to give it over to the Tzibra, then one is exempt. So the Gzeir Shavah tells us, Gabashemanami, so also regarding the Shem and the Mishcha, is the same thing that Lomaisa Litziba Pater, if he's doing it to give over to the people, then he's exempt. But says the Gemara, once you have this gzeirah shava, then b'tahad the keteris from the nails of Meshemet, so it should work the other way too. We should learn the halachas of making keteris from that of making the Shem and the Mishcha. And we should say, ma Shem and kimefatim lechatzin, just like the Shem and the Mishcha. If you compounded halfway, for example, let's say someone makes only 6 lugan, because the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made was a hin, which is 12 lugan, so potter, you're exempt. So af keteris na mekimefatim lechatzin, so the same thing should be regarding making the incense, that if someone compounded halfway, which if he makes only 184 mana, because every single day, they would bring in the Beis HaMikdash one mana, as the Gemara tells us later on, where there was 368 mana for the year. So every day, there was some left over at the end, but there was one mana per day. If someone makes, instead of making the 368, he makes half, he makes 184, pater should be exempt, like we find by the Shem and the Mishcha. Salama, Rava, why did Rava say, Keterisha pitme lechatzin chayev, by the instance, if he makes it halfway, he is liable. Which exactly the ingredients just halfway, and shemesh shepit melechetzim pata, but by the oil, if you compound it halfway, you're exempt. Why? Why doesn't the Gzeir Shavah learn the other way too? So Amal Harav, Rav would tell you, because Gabi Shemen Ksiv, by the oil, it says, maskunter lesasu kamayu, and according to its measurements, you shouldn't make like it, which is kamayu hudas. Exact like it is what's forbidden. Avachetzi Shabbat dami, but if it's halfway, then that's okay. But Gabi Keteris, where it says the pasuk in Shemais, where it says in the pasuk, that vakateris ashatasa, that the incense that you're making, which the pasuk there continues, b'maskunto leisas lochem, in its measurements you shouldn't make for you, but it says ashatasa, which tells you kol asir the kateris, any making of the incense, which is even less than the whole amount, because efshe demakta pras, you find that it's possible to sacrifice a half of a mana shachris. Every day they would bring a mana, but it wasn't sacrificed all at one thing. You would bring a half of it in the morning, ufras ben abayim, and half of it would be in the evening. So you see that it's not only the entirety, it's not all or nothing by the keteris. Even part of it is considered valid for keteris, and therefore the liability would be, not like Shem and the Mishcha, would be, because the pasuk telling us, even if it's only part of it. Now, continuing on this theme about the Shem and the Mishcha, So talking about learning the Braisa. The Shem and the Mishkal, the anointing oil, which had these aromatic spices to make the oil, Murderer, which these are different types of spices, were Hemeis, were 500 weights of Shkalim. Kida was Hemeis, was also 500. Kinnaman Besim, or aromatic cinnamon, was also Hemeis, was also 500, because the Pasuk calls it Machtzisei Chamishim Mesayim, half it was 250, which means the total was 500. Now the reason why it picks a Machtzisei, as we're going to learn later on, is because that it shouldn't be weighed all at once, but rather in halves, so that there should be that you have to weigh it, make sure for sure you're giving the right amount, which you're going to be adding a little bit more if you do it in halves. And Ukenei Besim, and this aromatic Kenei, was Chamishim Mesayim, was 250. Says the Brisa, Nimtzu Kulam, it comes out that the total amount was 1,750 shkalim worth of spices. So the Gemara wonders, Tanam and Yoni Kamash Malanda, Tanam the Brisa coming to tell us numbers, well, we can't add the amount, we know that's how much it is. Says Gemara, no, Tana HaKokashale. This is what was bothering the Tanam the Brisa. He was coming to tell us, because if you would just tally up what it says in the Pasig, so Emu, you would say, Kanei Besem, that actually the aromatic kina was kikinman besim, was like the aromatic cinnamon. Meaning when the Pasuk says machtzisei, it's actually going on both. And I would say, ma kinnaman besim, just like the aromatic cinnamon. Machtzisei b'chamisha mesayim, half it was 250. Af kinei besim, so too when it talks about kinei besim, machtzisei chamisha mesayim, that it, although it says 250, we would say that half it was 250. The havalu train often, that would make actually the total be 2,000, because you would be adding on another 250. That's what he's coming to say, that actually, no, it was only 1,750. Says Gemara, why? Maybe say that the half was going on both. Says Gemara, no, imkei nichtav krav. That would be the case that the Torah should have written, kinnaman besim v'kinei besim. Should have said them together. The aromatic cinnamon and the aromatic kina. Mechtza mechtza. Half of half, meaning if you're going to weigh it in halves, is chamishim v'masayim, is 250. But it doesn't. It says it only by the kinnaman besim, and therefore that half is 250 for a total of 500. But the kina was only 250. Now, Amalei Rabbi Abai says, okay, kishru shekel. So when they would weigh the halves, behechruhu shekel, would they weigh with a little bit weighing over to make sure that you, for sure you're getting the right amount? Or ein ba'ein hu shekel would be exact one-to-one to say that that's exactly how much you do. You don't weigh it anything more than the 250. So Amalei says, so Abai said to him, Rachmana kasav bad bevad. The Torah says, one-to-one, vad amr behechruhu, you're saying that it should be weighed over a little bit more? Obviously, it's exact. That asked the Gemara, but Amr Yehuda says Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoyde Hachrois. Hashem knows that they wouldn't weigh the extra amount by itself. They would put on as it is, and only Hashem knew exactly how much a little bit more was put on to the weight to make sure that you're getting exactly 250, which ended up being a little bit more. Which every time you have to add a little bit more. Now, if you're doing halves, you're adding a little bit more because you're doing it two times. So Alma de Isbu Hachrois. So we see that there was a little bit more weight on. So Ella, rather, and the Gemara says, Amal Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, yes, not like Abaya. Because the kinman besim, regarding this aromatic cinnamon, amai maisi machtzisa de chamesh meis, why is it brought in half as 250? Where do we split in half the 500? Chamishim besai mechad zimna, 250 one time, v'chamishim besai mechad zimna, 250 another time. Kiven the kulin hei meis, having since anyways the total is 500, so neisi hei meis bevasachas, bring all 500 one shot. Why does the Torah say, and half of it is 250? Shema Minah, obviously, says Rabbi Huda, from the fact that we bring it in two different times, is because Hashem wants us to add a little bit more hecher ispe. There is a little bit to weigh it over. And that's what Rabbi Huda was saying. Hashem knows only how much is added on. But there is a hecher, not like the way Abaye had said. Now, so then the Gemara says, according to him, am I bad bavad? So if it's not exactly one-to-one, what does bad bavad mean? So Ravina, he says that it means to say that you should weigh each spice opposite the iron, one-to-one against the weight, but shalo yinich mishkel, but that you shouldn't put something that needs to be weighed, the mishkel in something else that was already weighed, and then the mishkel and then to weigh it. In other words, you shouldn't weigh the number, let's say, of the murderer, and then go ahead and weigh the kida with the murderer. No, it has to be opposite the weight directly, but not that it's exactly one-to-one, it's just that you shouldn't weigh it against a different spice that was already weighed before. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says, "Turn about and learn the Brisa." Shemen haMishkal she'asa Moshe b'Midbar. Regarding this anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the desert, so the Gemara says, "Hayishalkei im hoykaren." So he boiled it with the spices, which that we said the spices were part of the oil, giving it an aromatic smell. That's how they made it. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. On that, Rabbi Yisrael said to him, what do you mean? There wouldn't be enough oil even to just, forget about boil, even enough to just smear the spices with the oil, because the oil was only 12 lugin, and the spices were way much more in weight. So, Ketzadai, so he disagrees. He says, what did they do? Heavy Karin, so they brought the spices, the roots, and the girsa is v'shara'an, and they soaked it b'mayim in water, so that it should absorb the water, so that when they would pour on the oil, it shouldn't absorb the oil. Then then they poured on the anointing oil onto that. Then the oil absorbed some of the aroma of the spices. And then they wiped it off from the spices, and then he put the oil into a flask, because or else it wouldn't have been possible. To which Amalei Behudi responded back to Rabbi Yosi as he continued to base, and he says, what? You're right, it would be impossible. You think there was only one miracle that was done with the anointing oil that you're wondering and saying, hey, the way I'm describing wouldn't be enough? There were so many miracles that were done with the Shem and the Mishka from the beginning to the end, as he explains. It started off only just with 12 log. And a log we can understand, the revius, what we call like a regular size cup, becher, is a revius, is a quarter of a log. There's 12 log. How much is that? And with that oil, they anointed the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the whole Mishkan, its utensils, the Kalev, the Aaron of Anav, Kol Shivas Yimei Amelum, and Aaron and his sons, all the 7 days of the inauguration period, as the Gemara says in the first parak, Yimei of Hamad Alf, Shivas Yimei Amalias Yetchem, which you compare the anointing to the Ribui of the Begadim, which it says, Lamashch Behem, Ulamal Behem Yadam, which was for 7 days. And with this oil was anointed all the Kan Gedolim and all the kings, and all of it is intact for the future. Shlomo says a passing in Shemais. Shem and Mishchas Kodesh Yezel Lila Derisechem, says Hashem. A holy anointing oil, this should be for me, for your future generations. When it says Zeh, Begematria Yud Beis Lugin Havin, that's the numerical value of 12. 12 Lugin is going to be Zeh, Zayin is 7, Hey is 5. So we see that all 12 Lugin is going to be for the future. So it's anyways miraculous. It's not difficult the way I described it, that they did boil it. And as the Gemara brings term, on the Brisa. Moshe took the anointing oil, anointed the Mishkan, etc. Behudai says, Shem the Mishkan shasa Moshe b'mid, but the anointing oil that Moshe b'mid made in the desert, harba nisim nasa b'mid chalasa b'tzai, there were many miracles that were done from the beginning to the end, as he delineates. Chalasa l'hoye ele yud b'z logan. It only started off as 12 logan. Now, kama yer balas, how much does the pot absorb? Kama ikarn boil, how much do the spice absorb? Kama or sayf, how much does the fire burn when you're cooking it? And yet, Ubay Nimshach Mishkan Bekalev, and still he anointed the Mishkan and its vessels, Aaron of Anav Kolizayin, Yimeham Lum, and Aaron and the sons, all the 7 days of the inauguration. Ubay Nimshach Kam Gedolim Lachem, and with that, the Kam Gedolim were anointed, and the kings. Now, the Brisa points out, additionally, Vafil Kam Gadol ben Kam Gadol Tal Mashiach, and even a Kam Gadol, the son of Kam Gadol, needs to be anointed. However, Vein Moshchin Melech ben Melech, although we anoint kings, but the king, the son of a king, doesn't have to be anointed. Now, if you're going to say, then why did they anoint Shlomo if he's the son of David, who is a king? That's because of a dispute of that they were challenging it with Adonai Yahu. So therefore, they had to anoint Shlomo to make sure he's going to be the king. And also, Ves Yahish was the same reason. Mimnei Asalya, who also was contending. Vesei Yachez, and also by Yachez, Mimnei Yaakim Achiv, because of his brother Yaakim, Shai Gadol Me'achiv, Shtei Shanim, who he was older than him, by 2 years. So because there was a contest, and then therefore they had to anoint. And we know Yoachim was older than Yoachim by 2 years, because the Pasuk says Yoachim was 23 years old when he became king, and he only ruled for 3 months. And Yoachim, it says that he was 25 when he ruled, so it comes out that Yoachim was older than Yoachim by 2 years, as the Brisa teaches in Seder Olam, because they had ruled at the same time period. Now, so therefore, that's why they had to be anointed, but generally, a Melech by Melech doesn't have to be. Now, Amamar, the Gemara explains the time the Brisa said, Vafil Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol tan Mashiach, even Kohen Gadol, the son of Kohen Gadol, needs to be anointed. Says Gemara Menachem, where do we know this from? Because the Chassid says in passing of Yikar, it says, "Va'kain haMashiach tachta mibanav." The kain who is anointed, meaning we're talking about the kain gadol, and the kain who is anointed tachta in his place mibanav from his sons, who then becomes kain gadol in his place, will take over. Now, says the Gemara, name of the pasuk should have just said, "Va'kain shetachta mibanav." The kain who is in his place from his children, my haMashiach. Why say the anointed one? Hakamashman's coming to teach that. Fill Mibanav, even if the Kohen Gadol is from his own sons, Hahud Mashach have a Kohen Gadol. The only one that's anointed becomes the high priest. Vile Mashach le Kohen Gadol, if he's not anointed, he does not become the Kohen Gadol. Additionally, Amma the time the Brisa says, but ain't Moshkin Melech b'Melech. We don't anoint the king, the son of a king. Says Gemara Menachem, where do we know that from? Samar Vachab Yaakov says, because the Chassid says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Laman yarech yom al mamlachto, so that it should be lengthy days for him, meaning the king al mamlachti, in his sovereignty. Hu avon of him and his sons, which tells us that as the pasuk continues, that hu avon of, that it's going to be him and his sons. So yerushahi, we see that it's hu avon of, it's inheritance, and therefore you don't have to go ahead and anoint. Now the Brisa said, but neima moshcha shlema. So why did they anoint shlema melech if he was a king, the son of a king? And they machlekes adniyo. That's because of it was being contested by adniyo. So says the Gemara, menolam dechias machlekes. Where do you know that if there's a dispute that by meshicha that you would have to anoint v'loy yerushahi v'loy hold and v'loy called the boy malka maris lemalka. So that whoever the king wants to inherit to, he gives it over to. Who cares that's being contested? It still says it's yerusha. Why is that a problematic if someone else is contesting? Samra Papa, because he says, Amakra, that pasuk that we quoted concludes, yeah, it's hu avanav, but it says Bikar v'Yisrael, in the midst of the Jewish people, which teaches us, Bizman Shalom v'Yisrael, when there's peace in the Jewish people, then the kingship is an inheritance and does not require Mashiach. But when there's a dispute, then it's not a Yerusha, and then that would require a new anointing from the beginning. Now, Tanu learned the Braisa that Af Yehu ben Nimshi lay Nimshach. So to Yehu, the son of Nimshi, was not anointed. Why did it require being anointed? Elab ben Machlekis Yerim ben Achav. Also because it was being disputed by Yerim, the son of Achav. So the Gemara, Amai, why is that the reason? Typically, the Melech Rishnu, the reason why he has to be anointed is because he was the first king in his family. He wasn't the king, the son of a king. Why are you saying it's because it was being contested? Says the Gemara, Chasur Mechster of Ahachitani. No, the word's missing the Braisa, and this is what it's supposed to say. Malche beis Dovin Meishchim. Only the kings from the house of David, they require anointing. Malchi Yisrael, Eimashchin. The kings from the Jewish people, not from Malchus Beit David, do not require anointed from when David and Melch started. But Shaul, who was before, was anointed. Now, if you're going to say, well, then Mimnei Mamashchu Yehu ben Nimshi, then why was Yehu ben Nimshi, who he was not from Malchus Beit David, why was he anointed? That was Mimnei Machlek Yisrael Menachav, that was because of the dispute. Although he's Malchi Yisrael, that's why he was anointed. Now, Amma, the town of the Braisa said, Malchi beis David Meishchon. Only the kings from the kingship of David HaMelech, they become anointed. Ve'im Malchi Yisrael Meishchon, but from the 10 tribes, they do not get anointed. Says the Gemara, Menon, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, Dechsib, because it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, when they were looking for the king, the son of Yishai, who's going to be the king, so, Kom Moshcheyu Kizehu. So he said, go ahead, Shmuel came into Sirit and said, go anoint him, Kizehu, because he's the one. Which, that red one that was referring to David HaMelech. But that teaches, Zeh, Toin Mashiach. This one, David, and his family requires anointing. Ve'enachar Toin Mashiach, but no other one, the Malchi Yisrael, do not require being anointed. Now, Amma the Tan, the Braisa said, M'nei Malchus Yairam. The reason why Yehu was anointed was because of the dispute of Yairam. Says the Gemara, O'mishom Machloikis Yairam Ben Achav. Okay, so because Yairam Ben Achav was disputing his kingship, Senimul B'Shem and Mishcha, so we could misappropriate the anointing oil? In other words, we understand that we said that when you have a king, the son of a king from the house of David, that although you don't have to anoint, but when there's a machlekes, we learned from the pasuk that it goes and starts all over. It's not a Yerusha, and you would have to go ahead and make a new anointing. But Malchi Yisrael, where there's no anointing at all, how could you go ahead and use and misappropriate the Shem and the Mishcha for Malchi Yisrael? Says the Gemara, the Amra Papa, as we'll quote him later on, Barfarsim Adachir, it's talking about that's pure balsam. Hachanami Barfarsim Adachir, it's also that the anointing was with pure balsam. It wasn't with the Shem and the Mishcha. But the fact that we had to do any ceremony of anointing was because of the dispute. But it wasn't any misappropriation of the original Shem Mishka. Now the Braisa said, "There's Yayachas, and we have to anoint Yayachas, even though he was the son of a king." Ne Yayakim Sheigodim Menor Shteishan, because of his older brother Yayakim, who that because of that dispute, they had to go ahead and anoint him. Says Gemara, "Mi Kashish was really Yayakim older than Yayachas?" But Vekseb, the pasuk says, "Devayim Aleph." It says, "Bnei Yeshio, the sons of Yeshua Melech, Habachar Yechanan. The eldest was Yechanan. Vasheni Yaakim, the second one was Yaakim. Vashlishi Tzidkiyo, the third one was Tzidkiyo. Varevi Shalom, and the fourth one was Shalom." Now, Ba'amar Rebbe says, "Yechanan, who's Yechanan? Who Yayachas? That's Yayachas that he was the Bachar. Tzidkiyo, who's Shalom, and Tzidkiyo, who is called the third one, was actually Shalom, was called the fourth one. But one thing you see is Yayachas was the older one. How, why are you saying Yaakim is older?" Says the Gemara, no, Ela La'ilam Yayakim Kashish. No, it's like we said, Yayakim is older. So why do they call Yayachas the oldest? Shu Bechar L'malchus, that means he was the first one to reign, to be the king. Now, says the Gemara, Mima Kamina Zuti Kame Kishisha, do we make a younger son to be the king before the older one, as it was in this case? But Viksiv, the post says in Diva Yom Beis, Vesam Amlocha Nosin Liyayarim, he gave the kingship to Yayarim, Kihu HaBechar, because he was the eldest. Says the Gemara, yeah, because Ahu Mamali Mokam Avoy Savava. He was someone that was able to take the place of his father. At that point, he was still worthy. Whereas Eliakim was not someone that was worthy to take over his father, and therefore, although he was older, he was not the one that was king, rather his younger brother who had to be anointed because of the contention of his older brother. Now, Amamar, as we mentioned before, when explaining these four sons, so it's explained that who Shalom, who Tzidkiah. The one that's Shalom is really Tzidkiah. And that has the Gemara, but Vahabadarika Chashem. But it's mentioned in generations, it mentions them as a third son and a fourth son. How can you say both those, which are two different names, were actually the same person when they're mentioned as a third son and a fourth son? So says the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Amai Karilei Shlishi. No, they're all the same person. Why is he called the third one, Shu Shlishi Laban? Because he was the third son. Well, my Karil Revi, then why is he called the fourth one, Shu Revila Malchus? Like we mentioned before, the Pasuk actually delineating in the order of being the king. What does that mean? How could he be the fourth king from the sons if there were only three sons? Mishum Demolech Yechanya, because Yechanya, who was the son of Yoyakim, took over his father Yoyakim Kameh before Tzidkiah. So as the Gemara explains, Betchila Malach Yoyachas, first one of the younger brothers, Yoyachas, he first ruled. V'Seif Malach Yoyakim, and then the older brother Yoyakim became king. V'Seif Malach Yechanya, then Yoyakim's son Yechanya was king. V'Seif Malach Tzidkiah, and then at the end, the fourth king was the third son, was Tzidkiah. Now, Tarma Olin, the Braisa, as we mentioned, who Shalom, who Tzidkiah, is the same person. Now, V'Olam Nekor Shmai Shalom, then why was it called Shalom? Shoyah Shalom B'Maisav, because he was complete in his actions. He was a righteous person. Or Davach, or another interpretation, is Shalom, is Shalom Malchus Beis Dov Ben Yomav, because in his days was concluded the reign of the Davidic dynasty. Umashmai, so what was his real name? Matan Yeshmai. Shanamak says the Pasuk from Lochem Beis. Says V'Yamlech, whereas the Pasuk there says Melech Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, who took over Yerushalayim, made to reign as Matanya Doidi Tachtav. His uncle, Matanya, took over the nephew, as we said, Yoyachin was the king there, for Yechanya was the king there, before him. He sent the uncle to go take over his place, and the Gemara says, Vayasev es Shemait Tzidkiyo, and he's the one that actually called him Tzidkiyo. Damaloi, like he's told him, Yoyatzik Alecha es Adin, God should judge you, and stand and write the judgment, imtimrid be if you rebel against me. That's why he called him Tzidkiyo, Tzidikka. If you rebel against me, like it says in the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Beis, which actually the Girsa is taking out the next two words, is Vayove Isi Ba'ala, that he actually brought him into an oath that he shouldn't rebel. Uksiv, but the Pasuk says later on, Vagamba Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel Mara, that he did rebel against the king of Bavel Nebuchadnezzar, Ashesh Bi Abelahim, that made him swore in God that he's not going to rebel against him. Now going back to what we mentioned before, that we said that Yoyachas was anointed. So on that aspect, and even though he was a king, the son of a king, because he was the younger brother, says the Gemara, was the anointing all even around in his days to say that we anointed him? But Ratanya learned the Braisa, Mishnah Ignis Aron, when the ark was concealed away for all of time, so Nignis Tzintzenes Haman, so too the flask that held a sample of the man, which was in the times of the desert, was also hidden away. But Tzleich Hashem and the Mishka, and the flask that held the anointing oil, was also hidden away. And also the stick, the staff of Aaron, with its almonds and with its blooms, which was to prove the rights of the Kahanim. The Argus Sheshogar Plishtim Dorin Lelehei Yisrael, and also the box that the Plishtim sent a gift to the God of the Jewish people, where Shenemet says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, that Veskle Hazav Asher Shivoisim Loi Asham, that the golden vessel that you can return to them for being guilty for having taken the ark, so they were advised to Simu Ba'argus Mitzide, you should put a box on the side. Now, from the fact that it says that a box was on the side, obviously wherever the ark was, so the box was with it, and therefore when the ark was hidden, so too the box was hidden with it. So when the ark was hidden, all these things were hidden with it. Umi Ganza, and who hid it? Yeshio Melech Yehuda Ganza, his father Yeshio, the king of Judea, he concealed it. Shemak says the Pasuk in Devar Yom Beis, which the Girsa takes out the next few words, and it's actually Vayemel Levim Hamavinim, that Yeshio said to Levim, who understand Lechol Yisrael, all the Jewish people, Hakadoshim Hashem, that are sanctified to Hashem, he told them Tnu Es Arena Kodesh, place the holy ark. Babayis Hashabana Shlem in the house that Shlem Melech made. Ke'in lechem b'masa b'kos, if you don't have any more carrying it with your shoulders. The Gemara in Shkalim Dafyot explains, he told them that if you're going to go into exile with the ark into Bavel, you're never going to bring it back on your shoulders anymore, and therefore they concealed it. Now, Avamar Belazar Belazar said that regarding the flask, Asi Sham Sham, we learn out where it says by the Aaron Ashevoid l'chashama, and by the flask of the man it says v'nostin shama malohi oimer man. So we learn out that just like the ark was hidden, so to the flask of the man. And also, Asi, we learn that regarding the Shem and the Mishcha, Deiris, Deiris, where it says the terminology generations by the by the tzinsenis of the mun, and so too says the terminology by the Shemana Mishcha, so he was also concealed with it. And also Asu, we learn that the staff of Aaron, Mishmeris Mishmeris, where it says by the tzinsenis, it says we learn that from the flask where it says by the makel mishmeris loisab nei meri, and by tzinsenis by the flask of the man it says mishmeris l'derisechem. So just like that was concealed, so this was concealed. Now one thing we see is that one of the items concealed by Yeshio Melch Yehuda was the Shem of the Mishcha. So how could his son, when he had to become king after his father, have been anointed with the Shem of the Mishcha? That Amar Papa says, which we had referred to this teaching before, is Bafarsa Madachi. Right, it wasn't the original Shemna Mishcha. It was with pure balsam, and again, it was ceremonial because of the contention of his older brother. Now, Tarma within the Braisa, that Meishkin Esam Alachim, we said that two need to be anointed, kings and Kan Gedol. But they're anointed in different ways. Meishkin Esam Alachim Kimin Nezer, they anoint kings like a crown, meaning they take with the oil all the way around his head. Vesekahanim Kimin Ki, we're going to count them, they're anointed like a key. And Rav Menashia, he explains Kimin Ki Yevani, like a Greek key, which is a Greek letter, which in our Rashi is printed like an X. Others say like a semicircle. There's different interpretations exactly what that means, but it's like the Greek key, and that's how Kahanim are anointed. Now, well, Tanichad we learned in one brisa that Betchila Matzik Shemen Al Reishoy. So first they pour oil on his head. But then they put the oil between his eyebrows, and then they combine it with the finger going over his head all the way to the back of his head. That's how they do the chi. Now, but Tanya Achriti, but within another bray, so that no, but in the first they put the oil between his eyes, and then they pour oil on his head. Says the Gemara Tanoi, it says Machlekes Tanoi. There are those who say that the anointing, which you start off between the eyebrows and you do the chi going through either like an X or going over his head, from starting from the forehead to the back, that's the stronger one, that you do that first. And then there are those who say, no, the pouring is better. As the Gemara explains, what's the reason the one who says that the pouring is better? Because the pasuk says in Yikra, v'yitzik mishemen ha-mishcha al resh Aaron, that he poured from the anointing oil on the head of Aaron, and then the Debach adds on the words, v'yimshach ha-slikashi. Then it says that he anointed him to sanctify him. So see, yitzik is first. But the one who says no, that the anointing is better, because we find that that's an activity that's done by the klisharis. So therefore we find that that's better, and therefore that's the one that's done first. But it says first pouring, and then it says anointing. Says the Gemara, Hachim, this is what that mandama would say. Why are we pouring? Because we already anointed it to sanctify him, that actually the Mashiach is first, and then the Yitzika. Now related homiletical teaching, the Gemara says, "Turn, but learn the brisa." The pasuk says in Tehillim, and the Gemara says, "Kashemen hatoyv al harosh v'goymer," like the good oil on the head that's yeri that goes down al hazakan on the beard, which is the beard of Aaron, which goes down on his measurements on his garments. Now, says the brisa, "Kimin shtei tipin margolius hayu tuluyus la'aron bezikani." They were like these two pearl, these drops like pearls of the Shemen HaMishcha that were hanging on Aaron by his beard, which he was anointed and it dripped down onto his beard, and there were these two drops like pearls that were hanging on his beard. Now Amar Rav Kahana, he says, Tanu Lina Braisa Keshu Mesaper, which either means when he would speak or when he would cut his hair. Oilis v'yeshvas be'ikri zekani. So then the pearls of these two drops would go up to the roots of the hair of his beard. Now, Valdava Zaha Yemesh Rabbeinu Doik, and the fact that there was these two pearls of the oil that hung on the beard of Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried. Maybe I misappropriated the anointing oil, and maybe I put on too much. You see that it dripped down and it was hanging on his beard. So Yotze Baskal V'Amr, so a heavenly voice came out and said, as the pasuk continues after that, Ketal Chermon, like the dew on the Chermon, which is a mountain region in Eretz Yisrael, Sheyerud Al Har Tzion, which goes down on the mountains of Tzion, which teaches us Ma Talim B'Meila, just like the dew has no misappropriation of Shemen, Sheyerud Al Zikaron Aaron in B'Meila, so too the oil which went down on the beard of Aaron doesn't have a problem about misappropriation. Now, but Vadain Aaron Hoydag, but even after that, still Aaron was worried. Shema Moshe Leimol, yeah, maybe Moshe, my brother, didn't misappropriate. Vanima Alti, but maybe I did misappropriate because my garments are benefiting from the aroma of the oil that's in my beard. So Yatza Baskav Amrloi, because it says it goes down onto his midas, on his garments. So Yatza Baskav Amrloi, so a heavenly voice came out and said, which that parak starts off with, the first pasuk, Hine Matav Manoim, behold how good and how sweet Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, our brothers that sit also together, which was teaching Ma Moshe Leimol, just like Moshe didn't misappropriate, Afatel Ma'alti, you also didn't misappropriate. Tanra within the Braisa that we only anoint kings el al ma'ain, only by a spring, by flowing water, by something that has it's a fountain of a spring. And the reason is Kadesh Timashach Machusim, that's the omen that it shows to should flow their sovereignty, their kingship. Shemak says the Paskim Lachim Aleph. Says Vayir Mahamelech, which refers to David Amelech, that the king he said, which actually the Girsa is, Lahem to them, Kui Macham, take with you, Vagayim, etc. Vayrat the Moshe, you should take Shlomo his son down, and the Girsa says, El Gichain, which Rashi says the Gichain is a small spring near Yushalayim. It's not the Gichain, the large Gichain, which comes out from Aden. But Moshe Chayse Shem, and you should anoint him over there, you see that it should be done by a spring. Now, related to Amr of Ami, he says a similar type of a concept. Haiman de Boy Leida, or he says a few different ideas. One of them is this idea that comes out about by a spring, which it flows. Haiman de Boy Leida, Imashcha Shota Eloi. If someone wants to know if his year is going to flow, if he's going to make it through the year, Eloi, if not. So Mighty Shraga Bahala Nasara Yemen, the Bain Reish Shata Leiman de Kippur. So you should bring a lamp, a candle. In those 10 days, we call the Asheres Mei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. They should put in a house that there's no wind blowing over there. If the light flows, meaning it goes till the end, the Damascus Shaita held know that he's going to make it also through the year. So to Amanda the Boy Navid Iski, if someone wants to do a business deal, and he wants to know if he's going to be successful with the deal or not, so nearby time the Gaili should bring up a rooster for this purpose. If it gets fat and it gets plump, then he'll know that he's going to be successful. So to Haiman the Boy Nipik Barakh, if someone wants to go on the travel, on the road, Uboy the Neid, the Yihad the Levesa, once he's going to make it back home, so Neil Nikim Bevesa the Basta, he should go into a room that's a little bit dark. Im Chazi, if he could still see, as we continue to talk above him and Alf, Bevaya, and the Girsa takes out the next word, the Bevaya, if he could see the shadow of a shadow, Neid the Asa Levesa, then he should know that he's going to make it back home. The Gemara says, Vala Milsi, but that's not something appropriate. A person shouldn't do this. Because Dilma, maybe it's going to be a bad omen. And he's going to be pained because of it. And Chol Shadaiti, he's going to lose his confidence, his hope. Umaster Mazel, and that itself is going to cause his mazel to get worse, and therefore it's not appropriate to do that. Now, Amabaya says, Hashtad Amit Simna Milsi, but now that we said in all these different teachings that an omen is something significant, so Yehi Rogel Inish Lamechel Reishat, a person should have the custom, which that's the Jewish custom in general, to eat in the beginning of the year in Rosh Hashanah, Kara, gourd, Verubia, fenugreek, karti, leek, silka, beets, vitamarian dates, which Rashi's interpretation that is because some of these things either they grow fast, which is a good omen, or because they're sweet, and therefore one should have that omen in the beginning of the year in Rosh Hashanah. Now, related, Amali Rav Mesharsha Lebnei, the father gives his son some counsel, some good advice, which has this omen that we mentioned regarding the flowing of the water. Says, when you want to go ahead and learn in front of your teacher, so first go ahead and learn the Mishnayos, learn the text first. And then go in front of your teacher to learn from him. Moreover, when you're sitting in front of your teacher, you should see the mouth, the face of your teacher. Shlomo says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, your eyes should see your teacher. And when you're learning your teachings, you should learn it by the water, just like the water flows, that you're learning, your teaching should also flow. Moreover, he said to his son, better sit by the garbage dumps of Masa Mechase, which was a place where Tamid HaChacham were, and not by the palaces, the mansions in Pumbedisa, where they were robbers, as the Gemara says in Chum Kaf Chav Zayin Man Alef, that if a person from Pumbedisa escorts you, you should change the place where you're sleeping that night. And also he told his son, Tav Gildin Asari Lamechel, better eat a fish that's a little bit spoiled, as the Gemara says in Ma'ikot and Dafir Alfa Man Alef, that a fish that's close to getting spoiled is actually beneficial. Better eat that mikutcha dera mikipe than the kutcha, which is a Babylonian dip, which throws stones. Meaning to say, even kutach, which is something that's very strong, and it could even break stones when you pour it on top of stones, even so, don't eat from it. As the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Membeis Manav, there are three things that it says regarding kutach, one of them that it stuffs up the heart. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion according to Pasuk and Shmuel Aleph. But the spal Chana v'Tamar, Chana prayed and she said, "All it's libi b'Hashem. My heart exalts in Hashem. Rama karni, my horn is elevated." Now Rama, which was referring to her son Shmuel, which was going to anoint kings, but Rama karni v'lomar Rama pachi, she says, "My horn is elevated and not my flask." because David is Shlemish Nimshchu Bekeren. Regarding David and Shlemo, who anointed with a horn, Nimshchu Machusam, their sovereignty, their kingship, that flowed. Shol, and that's Ram Bekarni. But Shol v'Yehu Shnimshchu Minapach. But Shol and Yehu anointing with a flask, like Nimshchu Machusam, their sovereignty, their kingship didn't flow. It didn't continue on. It didn't last that long.